Welcome to the deep dive. You know, sometimes the sources you share really get us thinking, and this piece from Christian Culture News is a great example. It's titled The Last Day of Lent: Understanding Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday 2025.
Right.
So for you, we're going to, well, really dig into Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Especially thinking about how Lent wraps up and we head into Easter 2025.
Yeah, the aim is to get a really clear picture of this, well, really important time in the Christian calendar.
Exactly.
And it's interesting, the article starts by setting the scene with Lent itself.
It does.
It points out, you know, this 40-day stretch, Ash Wednesday, right through to Holy Saturday.
Yeah.
It's not some new thing. It goes way back.
Deep roots in the early church.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It grew as this really key time for people to prepare, spiritually speaking, for Easter.
And it centers on sacrifice and reflection, doesn't it? The source mentions things like fasting, prayer, almsgiving.
Right, the traditional practices.
But they're not just rituals, are they? The idea is they help people, you know, foster a closer relationship with God, a time for looking inward.
That intentional preparation really sets the stage for everything that follows. It's crucial context.
Okay, so let's explore Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, some call it.
The Thursday right before Easter, yeah, commemorating the Last Supper.
And the article really focuses on those key themes: sacrifice, service, communion.
Well, the Last Supper wasn't just, you know, a final meal. It was packed with meaning. These themes are woven through it. And the whole passion narrative, really.
Which covers the events leading up to Jesus's crucifixion.
Exactly.
And one of the moments the source highlights, which is always so powerful, is the foot washing.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, just picture it. Jesus, the leader, washing his disciples' feet like a servant.
It's such a potent symbol of humility, of service.
And the article makes a great point. It wasn't just something that happened back then. It's like a continuing call to action, right? For believers to live out that love and service.
Yeah. It completely flips the script on leadership, doesn't it? From being served to serving others. A radical idea then and now.
Yeah.
And this happens right before he institutes the Eucharist.
Right. Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. The article explains this is where Jesus establishes that core practice.
Sharing the bread and wine.
As symbols, tangible symbols of the sacrifice he's about to make. It's not just symbolic remembrance. It's connection.
It's participation, in a way.
Yeah.
Connecting with the heart of the faith.
And you see churches holding special services, don't you? Reenacting the supper, the foot washing.
Yes. And that can be incredibly moving for people taking part. It makes it very present.
It really lays the foundation for what comes next, which is Good Friday. A very different feel.
A very different feel, indeed. The article introduces it carefully, the Friday before Easter, commemorating the crucifixion.
And it stresses it's not just remembering history. It's about reflecting deeply on sacrifice and redemption.
That core idea of salvation through Christ's death, being reconciled with God.
It is such a reflective day. The culmination, as the article puts it, of the passion story. Jesus is suffering for humanity.
And that theological weight, redemption, forgiveness, it's central.
The contrast is stark, isn't it? After the intimacy of Holy Thursday, Good Friday feels so, so solemn.
Profoundly somber. The article mentions fasting. Service is focusing on the passion story itself.
And the veneration of the cross.
Right, acknowledging that instrument of suffering, but seeing it also as a symbol of hope, of redemption. It holds both.
It's that paradox, isn't it? Pain and hope intertwine. Mm-hmm. It's a day of mourning, certainly. But that somberness is necessary, as the source implies. It makes the joy of Easter Sunday mean so much more.
You need the context of the darkness to truly appreciate the light.
Right.
Spot on.
So, okay, let's turn to Easter Sunday, celebration.
The resurrection. After the darkness of Friday. After the waiting of Saturday.
And the article describes it beautifully, I think. Hope, renewal, victory over sin and death.
And connecting back, this is the cornerstone. The article knows it. It's the foundation of Christian belief, offering that promise, that assurance of eternal life.
It's not just about an event way back when. It's about its power now, right? In people's lives today.
Absolutely. The message resonates with our own struggles, offering, well, faith's power to overcome.
And the traditions really bring that home, like sunrise services.
That symbolism is so powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Discovering the empty tomb, light breaking through darkness, a new dawn.
What about those traditions resonates most with you?
I think it's how tangible they make the concepts. The sunrise service feels like hope dawning. The feasts.
Ah, yes, the communal meals, signifying abundance, fellowship, coming together in joy.
Shared celebration. You mentioned Easter eggs earlier.
Right. The article points out they're more than just fun for kids. They're symbols of new life, rebirth.
Perfectly fitting the resurrection theme.
So Easter Sunday, wrapping it up, it's really about that hope, that renewal, that victory. And it invites us to think, what does the resurrection mean for us?
Mm-hmm. Now, the article also talks about that transition, doesn't it? From Lent into Easter.
Yeah, it emphasizes it's a natural flow, not just stopping Lent and starting Easter. There's a progression.
A theological arc.
Exactly. It pulls together Holy Thursday, the Last Supper, Eucharist, foot washing, all pointing to service, humility.
And then Good Friday, the crucifixion, sacrifice, that deep reflection.
There are the necessary steps, the context, to fully grasp what Easter is celebrating.
And the source brings in the Easter vigil, too, on Saturday evening.
Right. For many, that's the real turning point, the anticipation building.
Full of rich traditions, the Paschal candle, the light of Christ, baptisms, renewing promises.
All symbolizing that resurrection, life triumphing over death. It's like the final intake of breath before the celebration.
Beautifully put.
Now, something else the article touches on, which I always find fascinating, is the cultural side, the different traditions around Lent and Easter.
Oh, yeah. It varies so much depending on where you are, which denomination.
And the article highlights how these diverse customs actually enrich the whole experience.
That's the interesting thing, isn't it? The specifics might differ how people fast, the focus of almsgiving, community projects.
The kinds of food people eat for festive meals.
Exactly. Traditional dishes symbolizing rebirth in different ways.
Hmm.
But it all adds layers to the spiritual journey.
It shows how faith isn't just doctrine. It's lived experience woven into community and culture. Hmm. Then the article shifts towards more practical things, spiritual reflections for Lent and Easter 2025.
Suggesting things like daily prayer, maybe journaling about gratitude.
Meditative practices too. Finding that quiet space.
And importantly, it stresses community engagement.
Yes. Acts of kindness, volunteering, participating in church services together.
It brings that internal reflection outward, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Fostering unity, compassion. Key themes for the season.
Absolutely. Taking the personal and making it communal. The article finishes that section urging us to approach Easter with, you know, renewed spirit and real joy.
Which makes sense. After the journey through Lent and Holy Week.
And finally, it gives a little preview of community celebrations for Easter 2025. Mentions churches, local groups, organizing events.
What kind of things does it highlight?
Well, the whole range, really. Special services for Holy Thursday and Good Friday, of course. Maybe ecumenical gatherings, different churches coming together.
That fosters broader community connection.
Yeah. And outreach stuff, too. Volunteering, food drives, serving the wider community.
Extending that theme of service we saw on Holy Thursday.
And family things, too, like Easter egg hunts, picnics, bringing people together for shared joy.
So it paints a picture of Easter being both deeply spiritual and very communal.
Definitely. Strengthening those community bonds.
Okay, so if we try and bring this all together.
Yeah, the article's main point seems to be that journey, right? From the reflection of Lent through the solemnity of Holy Thursday and Good Friday.
It all culminates in Easter's joy. Sacrifice, redemption, resurrection, those core Christian beliefs embodied in this period.
A journey packed with history, theology, and these really meaningful traditions.
Absolutely. It's a rich tapestry.
So maybe here's something to leave our listeners thinking about. Consider how understanding the significance of each day, Thursday's service, Friday's sacrifice, Sunday's triumph, might deepen your own appreciation for Easter.
Mm.
You know, its message of hope, of renewal, whatever your personal beliefs might be. Maybe even think about how those themes, sacrifice, service, hope, play out in, well, in secular life too. Food for thought.